have a couple of scriptures that I want to call your attention to. Isaiah 9 and 6. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6.
What chapter, Isaiah?
Ephesians.
No, Isaiah, what chapter, Isaiah?
Oh, 9 and verse 6. And I think I'm on the verse 22 through 24, and then verse 32. Luke 15:22 through 24, and then verse 32. Okay, we're gonna start out with Isaiah 9 and 6. It's a familiar scripture that everybody is familiar to. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Okay. Now I want to turn to Ephesians 4.
Baby, you're not coming up. My breath's up.
1 through 6. It says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." Now, Luke 15. This is about prodigal son. Says in verse 22, it says, "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Verse 32 says, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." If I had a subject about what I read today, it would be, "Hold to God's unchanging hand," or "The Perfect Father." I said earlier, when children grow up, they have in their mind what they want to be at an early age. I was at Uriah's graduation the other day from preschool, and they always ask the children what they want to be. It was one of the main questions they asked. I mean, every graduating class, they were like, what do you want to be? Some says, I want to be a doctor. Some say, I want to be a lawyer. Some, the little girl say, I want to be princesses. Little boy, one wanted to be a doctor. A lot of they have little glasses. They look just like little lawyers, little doctors. You see them being lawyers and doctors. But then one little boy said, I want to be like my dad. I said, that's cool. His dad had made an impression on him. Amen. Out of all the television that he sees, all the other people that he encounters, he said, I want to be like my dad. He's big, he's strong, he protects me, but I want to be like him. And I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool that a kid wants to be like his father. That's why I read in Isaiah that, you know, a child is born. And we should emulate and try to imitate the perfect father, who is God. Children are our gifts from God. So many people think that children are put here to serve us, to do what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. And that we have absolute power over them. But in reality and in truth, we are the servants. We as parents are the servants. I say that to make it clear that no, they're not in control. We have to guide them. We have to lead them. We have to show them how to grow up. But in doing that, you have to be a servant. And a servant is someone who does just that. He helps them around. He helps them along. He helps them to grow. He helps them to mature and to become the man and the woman that they should be and take their place in society. In the prodigal son, the story goes, you know, the one, the father had two sons.
Yeah,
amen. The one came to the father and said, give me all of my inheritance. I want what's mine. So he gave him his inheritance. And he went out, spent it all, had a good time. Friends galore. You know how it is when you go to the bar, you buying rounds for everybody. You get everybody your friend. The other son was loyal. He stayed home. He worked the fields or did whatever they did. He stayed home. Was a good son. But it's not always in what you do. It's where your heart is.
Amen.
And I say that to say this, that even though he appeared to be the loyal son, to stay there and to do the things that is do his father's bidding, when the young son came to his senses after spending all of his inheritance, he He thought, my father, when he was down in the pig pen, eating the slop for the hogs, just homeless, my father has all of this. He has servants. He has everything that I need. So let me go home. And when he came back, and that's what I said, the perfect father. He was not going on with life. Forgot about him. Said, I done gave him his part. What he do with it, he's on his own. But he was watching and waiting for the day that his son returned. And when he returned, the father said, the perfect father said, bring the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Treat him like he never left. A lot of kids, when they grow up, they want to be like Mike. They want to fly through the air. They want to be like Stephen Curry. They want to hit the three-pointer. They want to be like MC Hammer. They want to be a rapper. They want to dance. They want all the glitz and the glamour. But you know, all of these people that I mentioned have shortcomings. I don't have to remind you of the shortcomings of Stephen Curry. We saw in game 6 of the finals where he had his meltdown. Cursing at the officials. Getting kicked out the game. Perfect. I mean, they've set this man up to where he is just, everything about him is good. Everybody wants to be like Stephen Curry, but he has shortcomings. Michael Jordan. Probably the greatest player that played the game. His shortcomings are well documented in his gambling addictions, his divorces. Of course, we know that MC Hammer has his shortcomings and his bankruptcy and his downfall. Amen. But when we have a perfect example to live by, then we can make a good choice. Ephesians 4 and 6, I like that because it tells us where we should be in the Lord. Says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We have to have love for each other. We have to have unity. Because, like it says in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5 and 6 sums it all up. It says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The perfect Father. Saints, let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Because if we hold to his hand, nobody can pluck us out. Nobody can take us away from our inheritance.
Amen.
If we keep our focus on being one with the perfect Father, we will be successful in everything that we do, in raising our own families, because we have the perfect example and the perfect Father in whose footsteps we can follow.
Amen.
Amen. So like I said, hold to God's unchanging hand and let's emulate the perfect Father, who is Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Like I said, I just wanted to encourage us to stay in the unity. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the enemy's number one trick. He's like an animal.
Yes.
His thing is to divide and conquer. You see those National Geographic programs on television where the animals are hunting other animals, and as long as they stay in a pack, I don't care what they are, they can be the smallest animals, they can be the most timid, but as long as they stay together, other animals can't get them. They can fight off more, but when, and you see it all the time, the enemy is like the lions and the people that are after them. They know that if they get them on the run, that pretty soon the weak one will separate from the rest. And that's the way the enemy is with us. When we come together as a group and in unity for the Lord, with the Spirit of the Lord, the devil can't get us. But as soon as we start separating, the enemy can jump on us, separate us, and bring us down. Let's stay together, saints. It's important in this day and time that we keep together in unity. I can't express how important it is to have the unity of the Spirit of God, like it says, in you all and in us all. We have to have that, because we can't do it ourselves. We have to have the Spirit of God to teach us how to love, how to be humble. And our main goal in life as a Christian Holy Ghost filled believer is to serve and to not, like I say, not save the lost, but serve the lost. Amen. That's our main goal, is to serve the lost. And we can only do that through the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. I'm happy to see everybody here today, and we want to continue to pray for each other.
Amen.
You know, in fact, in our Sunday school lesson, Esther was faced with some hard decisions. I like Esther's response to the decisions. When Mordecai asked her to go before the king, the first thing she said was, let's fast. We're having some difficulties right now. I want to ask everybody to fast one day. Let's take Wednesday and fast.
Not today.
I said, not today.
Let's take Wednesday and fast. I'm not asking for a 3-day or 7-day or 21-day. One day. And let's ask the Lord during this fast to intercede for us and to give us back the unity that it takes for this church to go forward. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's just 24 hours. So Wednesday, one day, let's fast. Amen. So with that being said, let's keep everybody in prayer that's not here. Let's stand. Amen. Uplifted hands. What I say unto one?
What I say unto one.
What I say unto all.
What I say unto all.
Watch.
Watch.
Pray.
Pray.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
All right, Ted.
Like I say, hi, I'm Hammer Droid.
That's gonna move a little slower, huh? It ain't gonna get no quicker.
No way.
Come back and go. Oh, yeah.